Good to go. It's Tuesday. It's 6:30. Good evening, Zoe. How are you? Right, we've already got a couple of hands up, so let's just dive straight in. Northeast girl, you are first up, so whenever you're ready, what's your question?
So I'm just wondering, I have call on Friday,
yeah,
and we just received the CAFCAS report, but I've got a nine-year-old and he doesn't have any other children, so will I be able to have the child every Christmas morning and then he has a evening?
Depends. I mean, if the court thinks that's fair, it happens in all sorts of different ways. You know, usually they call Christmas alternates. So whoever gets Christmas morning 1 year may not then get Christmas morning the next year.
Yeah. Okay.
So it just alternates.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got a good reason why you should always have mornings, then put it forward by all means. But if he then says, well, I want to do some mornings as well, there's every chance the court will order alternate mornings.
I did think that. We go away every Christmas. So we have done for over 20 odd years.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe it would be in our favour. I'm not saying no to no contact on Christmas. I'm just asking for it to be a bit later in the day.
Yeah. Put it to the court and see what they say.
Okay, brilliant.
Right.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Bye. Hiya, Captain. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good.
This is from Lucy. I believe she's in the audience. I can't see her right now, but I believe she is.
Yeah.
Hi. I want to move away with my two children, but I'm worried that my ex-husband will make it very difficult. Where do I stand if I want to move about 30 miles away from the current marital home?
Yeah.
And also change the children's school. I currently have the children 5 nights a week. Can he stop me?
Okay, so lots of to that question. The first thing that I would say is if moving does not require any changes to contact or school arrangements, then you are permitted to just move, okay? Unless you've got an order that says you can't, but those orders are very few and far between. However, she then mentioned that she will have to move the child's school. So you are gonna need dad's permission. Now, if dad doesn't give his permission, then you need to get an order from the court, a specific issues order, whereby the court will decide if the children can move schools or not. Moving is generally accepted by the court because the courts don't want to prevent anybody from living where they want to live. And typically people move for two main reasons, for either work, which the court's going to promote, or to be nearer to a network, a support network, whether that be family or friends. A lot of people, when they separate, they want to maybe go back home to their own villages or towns, and the court won't stand in the way. All the court's going to want to make sure is that the children are still having regular contact with their father. And then the final part of her question was, can he stop me? He can't stop you. The courts can. Can he make an application to stop you immediately? Yes, he can. But then ultimately, it'll be for the courts to decide. And as I say, usually those applications succeed, especially when it's only 30 miles away. We're not moving, you know, continental here. P-Man, how can I help?
Hello, can you hear me?
I can, yeah.
Right, so what it is, we have been separated from the kid's mum for about 5 years now.
Yeah.
She still remains in the house with three kids, and we have a consent order when we got divorced, which obviously stated that financial that I had to agree to, like the child maintenance, which is no problem. We have a joint loan on the house that I still paid for. The main thing was that part of the agreement was to remove me from the mortgage, but she still hasn't done that. It's been 5 years now, but I'm aware that she is able to do it, but she's choosing not to. And it's just a case of where I stand from that point of view.
So did you say you have the order?
We have a consent order, yes. And on the consent order, it does state that I would give up my right to any of the house, any financial gain, which is what I had to do basically to move on with my life, which was fine because obviously I didn't want to remove the kids from the house, wasn't forced her to sell. But the agreement was to remove me from the mortgage, which has been 5 years and she still hasn't done it because she says she can't afford to, but I'm aware that she is able to. So I just want to know where I stand, if I'm able to pursue it to make her do it, or whether I am just sort of stuck until she actually does do it.
As long as the order says that she has to remove you from the mortgage, because sometimes the orders are that, let's say she's the applicant will use their best endeavours to remove the respondent from the mortgage. You know, but as long as it says that you are, she's definitely going to remove you, and 5 years have passed, it's enforceable. So the steps to take are, step number one, put it in writing, you know, very formal to her via an email. The order's passed. I bring your attention to clause 12 or whatever it is. You know, it's been 5 years. You meant to remove me from the mortgage. I need you to do this. I'll give you 7 days to sort this out. Answer me, blah, 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 blah. If that doesn't work, then you are going to be sending a letter, another letter to her to say, because you haven't responded to me, I'm going to have to take the matter back to court and enforce it. And then you're going to do your D11 application. And the D11 is one of those standard forms where it's more narrative than tick box. Most of our forms in family are tick box, but the D11's a narrative. And you're just going to explain to the court essentially what you've told me. And then you're going to staple your original order to the back of your D11 and send it into court. And that will be enough to generate a hearing date. And then you'll go to the hearing date and you'll tell the judge. And then you've kicked off what we call an enforcement application. You've started the ball rolling then.
Okay. The other thing was, as we have a loan, which was, when we were together, basically on the, against the house as such, I continue to pay it as I have, you know, because it's under my name as well, but it's under the house. She recently messaged saying, oh, the rates have gone up. You need to pay an extra £75 a month because it's gone up. But within the order, it simply states that I am down to pay that amount unless the term ends or it's paid off. Where do I stand from that point of view on the interest side of it? Although the loan is in the house's name, which I've legally, in the consent order, given up all my right to.
Yeah. Again, I wouldn't be increasing any payments, and I wouldn't be complying with that, because you're going to set a precedent that may then continue as part of that enforcement. So you just need to stick to your guns and say no. Obviously, sufficient time has passed now, and your interpretation of the order is that that increase shouldn't apply to you because you shouldn't even be on the mortgage that the loan is attached to the house. Do you know what I mean?
So yeah, that was the other thing. It was where I stood, because obviously the loan is against the house, although the loan has my name on it, but I've given up my right to the house.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't want to turn around and say, well, I'm not, am I still liable to pay for that loan even though I'm not on... I've not had no right to the house and want my name off the mortgage. Where will I stand for going forward with that second loan against the house?
The loan is in your name. So the answer to that question is you are definitely responsible for the loan repayments.
Okay.
It's just secured against the property. So once you get removed from the mortgage, you're going to find that chances are her mortgage provider is going to want you to pay off that loan, because they're going to want to remove that security off the property.
Okay.
It's going to be placed into her sole name.
But I
would be using that as your kind of bargaining power to sort of say to her, look, I just want to get this moved on. You need to be getting me off the mortgage and we need to be sorting this out.
And that's the thing is that, you know, I'm not being nasty, but I don't want, you know, I'm happy to pursue paying that loan because at the end of the day, I have a responsibility. We took the loan out under my needs and her needs. So I'm happy to pay what is due for it. But at the same time, I can't move on with my new partner and family to buy a property.
Exactly.
Because I still am under that mortgage. So I'm sort of
stuck. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And that's why the court have given a time frame. They've given 5 years because they would want you to, you know, move on. You know, by all means, help her out by staying on it for 5 years. But now that time has passed and she can get the mortgage on her own, it's time for her to do
exactly that.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly it. That's my thing. As I said to her, look, I'm not moving anywhere with now, but now I'm looking to move on.
Yeah.
I can't move on with my family because she says to me, you know, we kind of have it in kids 50-50. So there's some nights I'm meant to have them, but some nights I can't now because we don't have the space now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm saying, so I want to have the kids 50-50, but I don't have the space until you remove me from the mortgage and allow me to find a place house. To
yeah.
do that.
Yeah.
So she kind of wants it all her way, but not allowing me to yeah. move on with my life. So, yeah. but yeah, that's definitely given me some clarity of my sort of leverage I have with her then.
Good. That's good. I'm glad that helped.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure. All right then. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Aaron, you are next up. What's your question?
Hello, thank you. I spoke to you in August 2022 and off the back of that.
Oh, yeah.
Got legal advice from a financial advisor.
Yeah.
Now, what's worrying is that you said that family advice only.
Yeah.
Am I all right speaking in regards to the finances?
Yeah, I'll see if I can help. Absolutely.
So I've pursued legally finances of the property we share. We're not married. We own the house with three children.
Yeah.
We've come to an agreement, and we had a stay on the applications at court on the 10th of January. Basically, I've accepted an offer that they've made, and I'm waiting for a completion date. But this has been going on since October 2022. Every stage that we've hit has been a delay. Mediation, solicitor's letters have been ignored. It's cost an absolute fortune to get to this point. I've accepted quite a low offer in regards to the property to basically remove myself from any liability from the mortgage, although it's been offered with an indemnity. So my name will stay on the mortgage, but I'll be removed from the deed of any entitlement for any further equity yeah. in the property. Now I'm constantly pursuing my solicitor for a complete date, which they advise would be within 28 days of the 10th of January.
Yeah.
And everything's been delayed. Can I put a limit on this? Because I feel as though I've been more than amicable in accepting the offer that they've made. You know, what can I do here?
Well, that's going to depend on why the completion date isn't going through. What are the reasons for that? Because the solicitors won't be doing
she
it deliberately.
She can't afford the mortgage.
Okay. Well, then you're almost trying to push water up a hill. If she can't afford the mortgage, she's not going to be able to comply with the order. So my suggestion would be to sit down, and we're going to have to renegotiate somehow.
Because they won't, and the finances are coming from a family member of hers. They're not coming from her. So the offer that's been made to me to remove me from the deeds of the from the property are coming from a family member of hers, and they've been supporting paying the mortgage as I stopped in June 2023.
Why isn't she going ahead with the order? That's the bit I don't understand.
Yeah, well, they had a stay on the applications, so the judge would not stamp and seal the order that of sale. It was counteracted with a Schedule 1 temporary transfer.
Yeah, but you're still missing my point, Aaron. You're still missing my point, because your question to me was, I just want to complete.
Yeah.
So my question is, the block to you completing is that she isn't in agreement, and you've got to ask why, because the answer to that question will help you unlock the problem, so to speak. Why is it that she doesn't want to complete?
Okay, so I need to push my solicitor in finding out the reason as why it's
absolutely.
Not going ahead.
Absolutely, because until you know the reason, and sometimes it's just as simple as asking the other side the question, what's wrong? Tell me what the problem is. Well, if she won't reply to letters like that, you've got to take it back to court and say to the judge, I don't know what's wrong. You know, and she's going to have to tell the court eventually, because there's something.
And of course, I need to lift my stay.
Potentially, if that's what's blocking her. I mean, I don't know, but just find out why she won't move forward. There'll be a reason. It'll either be that she wants to stay in the property but can't afford it. But then you said her family members are paying, so I'm not sure that's the reason.
Yeah.
Or, well, I don't know. I'm guessing. I don't know. But find out the reason why.
Yeah.
Then it will be easier to remedy.
The indemnity is in place. which shows that she can't afford the mortgage solely, but means that I'm not liable for the payments of the mortgage.
Yeah. Well, what it means, Aaron, just to be clear for those others that are listening, an indemnity means that if she misses on the mortgage repayments, your mortgage provider is still going to chase you. Okay, they don't care about family court orders and indemnities on the rest of it. They will chase you for the money. And then when the property is sold or moved into her sole name, your indemnity enables you to go after her and claim back all the payments that you've made when she should have been making them.
Okay.
So it doesn't protect her really in terms of she can't afford it. It protects you. But it's not a straightforward fix, the indemnity.
Yeah, I was looking for a clean break, but it was never going to work out that way.
Because of the children.
Well, thank you for that.
Your pleasure.
I won't take up more of your time answering the question.
All right. Thanks, Aaron. Good luck. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Is that Roisin?
Yeah, hi. Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. What's your question?
So I'm asking something on behalf of my friend. Is that okay?
Fine, yeah.
So basically, she's fled domestic violence from a 7-year relationship.
Yeah.
She's got 2 boys. She was put in a refuge. And she's recently just been allowed to come home with CCTV, etc. What's it called? Non-molestation order.
Yeah.
And she applied to the court for a prohibited steps order and a child arrangements order.
Yeah.
Because she knows what their dad's like. Yeah. Their dad was arrested for assault on a child, on his child, and for running me off the road in my car because he could only get to me because she was in a refuge.
Yeah.
He drove into my car and pushed me off the road.
Yeah.
And since she's come back, social services have said they're doing a risk assessment so that he can see the children.
Yeah.
But the children don't want to see him. They are absolutely petrified of him. Like, they're kicking off every time they go in there. They're biting their mum, kicking them, smacking her.
Yeah.
It's awful.
So
where does she stand? Like, is she allowed to say anything?
Well, absolutely, because she's got parental responsibility. So ultimately, if social services do a risk assessment, that's just sort of their paperwork satisfied. And if their risk assessment then says, we feel that dad is of no risk, that doesn't mean that mom has to allow contact to take place. And if mom stands her ground because she feels that she's got reason to, then dad will be forced to make an application to the court. Now, as part of his application to the court, he will then ask for permission to file the social services safeguarding report or safety thing that they're doing. And his case will be social services have no issue with me. Mom will then raise all of the above, all what you've just told me. And then the court will do probably what's called a fact find hearing. So there's plenty that mom can do. You know, what social services are doing is the first step in probably 10 or 20 steps, so she doesn't need to feel worried by that. I mean, they might come back and say it's too much of a risk for the children. Captain, you're on mute. Take yourself off mute. There we go.
Hello.
Hello.
So I've got a couple for you.
Okay.
Oh. She's in the audience. Yes, she is.
Yeah.
My husband and I are separated. I've paid the mortgage solely for the last 2 years. I'm now wanting to buy him out of the property and have offered him a settlement, but he won't accept less than 50% of the equity. I've seen on a previous post of yours that he would still be legally entitled to 50% of the equity, as I've had exclusive use of the property. We have 2 young children. Does that make an exception to the 50-50 split? If so, can you tell me any more, please?
Yes, it does make a difference. So the video that I would have said, even though they move out, it doesn't affect their legal ownership. That part's true. OK, but I'm talking about legal ownership. What I'm not talking about there is the division following the divorce. So whilst the starting point's 50-50, whether he lives in the property or whether he's moved out, we're then going to be looking at other factors. And children is one of the factors. There's about 7 or 8 factors that we're looking at, and children's one of them. So if we've got young children and they live with mum, then that potentially shifts it from maybe 50 to 60%. And then we're going to be looking at other factors, age, medical condition, earning capacity, etc. So just don't confuse the two. Ownership and settlement are very different.
Okay, thanks, Tracy.
Pleasure.
This is a children's one.
Yeah.
So my question is, my eldest child is biologically somebody else's. He's not been involved and doesn't want to be a father. I'm married and my son knows my husband as his dad, as he's been there since he was a baby. We want to go through adoption, but worried about what if his bio father disregards this and doesn't comply? We've had professional input due to my eldest son having ASD.
Yeah.
And they have always been very positive about my husband adopting.
Yeah.
But does his biological father have any rights to say no? And will the court say no if he does? The biological father is on the birth certificate, and there's also DV background with the biological father.
So will the court say no if biological dad says no? The answer to that is definitely no. The good news is they've got social services support, because when you make an application for adoption, the first thing that the family court will want to do is get social services involved. And they're looking for social services support, in other words, agreement to this. Then the court's going to look at, well, OK, how will it impact the child if we allow the stepfather to adopt? Because by doing that, then the biological father loses his parental responsibility. And if that won't really impact the child, because, for example, the child's never seen the biological father, then there's every chance the adoption application will be successful. Maria, I'm going to come to you next. What's your question?
Hi there. Last Tuesday at 10:30 p.m., my husband of 16 years texted me and said that he was leaving me for another lady, and I've not seen him since.
Wow.
He's abandoned me and my daughter. He's not given us any financial help at all. I have no idea where he is, and everyone I know has no idea where he is. They know he's got a new woman, but no one knows who she is. How do I go about getting a divorce?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, how do I find him? And I was just about to say, this is missing persons. You can just start one, Maria. You can just start a divorce. If you can serve him via email, potentially, or at his place of work, if he's got family, friends, you know, sometimes people pop in and see the mum and dad on a Sunday or a Thursday, or, you know, play snooker one night a week. So if, you know, if he's got a habit, doesn't necessarily have to be where he's living, is what I'm trying to say. Start the divorce online, and you may have to engage a process server, but that won't cost you a lot, you know, anywhere between sort of £80 to £100, and give them other places where he would routinely visit. Do you know what I mean?
And would I put it down as abandonment?
No, because the new system, Maria, is no fault. So you're not going to put anything down. You're just going to put that want a divorce. Yeah, yeah.
That's lovely. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, Maria. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Mart, you are up next. What's your question?
Tracy, sorry about earlier. My phone went on meltdown.
That's okay. How can I help?
I got a couple, but I will keep them brief, right?
Okay.
I'm not sure if this one's already been asked and answered, but I can't remember. Are assets abroad counted in a UK divorce? Married in the UK for 5 years. I'm thinking about buying a property in Spain with all my savings and not my husband's. If we divorce, can he take half the property?
Yes. That's all I'm going to say. Yes, he can. It's a matrimonial asset and therefore will be included when we're sorting out the divorce. I mean, I don't know if he'll get half of it, but he will be entitled to a share of all the matrimonial assets, including the house in Spain.
Okay, no worries. I have a court order for my 6-year-old and father has no contact. He is now trying to get contact, but outside the court. How do I refer him back to the court, or do I just wait until he takes it back to court himself?
I would just wait. You know, there's more incentive for him to take it back to court, I suppose, than mum. So I would just wait to see if he makes another application.
Happy days. And looking to do an online clean break order. This included for a consent order and a Form 81. We are amicable and not after each other's savings or pensions. They say I don't need to provide pension info and bank statements to court. Just share them with a law firm.
Yes, I mean, I don't know what law firm she's using, if they've asked for, you know, an exchange of brief documents. But she's right in that if you're doing it by consent, you don't need to send those documents into the court. However, the D81 that she mentioned, you do have to put your figures on that form. So you have to put down what you've got, a figure for assets, a figure for debts. You've got to put down what your income is per month, and you've got to put down what your pension's worth. So the court will know the value of everything, but it doesn't necessarily see the paperwork. Well, it won't see the paperwork if it's by consent.
And the last one I got for you, I'll try and keep it as brief as I can, because this is like 20 paragraphs. my partner and their ex are currently in the middle of court proceedings for child arrangement order. His ex-solicitor is saying that he's in contempt of court for sharing details of the court case. No documents have been shared, only things that have been discussed that are witness to the allegations against him. If the ex said he threw something in front of the child and his mum and he doesn't remember it happening, would he have asked his mum and also myself who was there, is this contempt of court?
I'm a bit confused by the question. Well, I mean, I think what I think what they're saying is that the other side are making allegations that they've breached confidential information and shared sensitive documents or whatever it is that they're saying. But they're saying that they haven't. If it's a conversation between, you know, a member of the family that he doesn't even remember having, it's going to be very difficult for them to prove contempt of court, I would suspect. I mean, I think it would boil down to what information was shared, if any, and who was it shared with, and did he have the right to share it? Do you know what I mean? Because if it's something that's coming from me about my information, I can let, you know, if I've put information for me, I can tell anybody that I want about my information. I just can't tell anybody about my partner's information if I'm going through a divorce. So then you've got to look at what information did he share? Because it may be that it was his information to share.
Yeah. I got you.
Fab. Hope that's helped that person, whoever asked that anyway, Mark.
And I got a statement to you, for you, basically.
Yeah.
Big up to you and big up to Tracy and all the team for all the work that you do. Helps a lot of people and we all really appreciate the lot of you.
Oh, that's lovely to hear. That's lovely to hear. Thank you, whoever said that. And I'm sure, well, I know I appreciate it. And I know the team definitely appreciate it.
That's all I got for you, Tracy.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate that. Speak to you soon.
Bye.
Medici, I hope I've said that right. What's your question?
It's the Medici, but don't worry, everybody gets it wrong.
Sorry.
That's okay, no worries. I just have two questions. I'm helping my mother out. She was divorced from her ex-husband a number of years ago.
Yeah.
And there was no financial settlement in place. They didn't have a lot of assets, and she's not interested in maintenance or anything, so we were just wanting to sort out the pensions because they had quite a lot of pensions between them. We have a FDR on the 11th of March. And we were advised to, we vacated the first one because we wasn't ready, because we were advised to instruct a pension actuary,
yes,
and get that report to take to the FDR. They're both acting as litigant in person, and now he's refusing to sort of participate or instruct a pension actuary.
Oh, dear.
And they're just saying we need to adjourn the FDR on the 11th until he's ready. I mean, this has been going on for almost a year now.
Yeah.
Do we do that, or can we just ask the judge? What? what's our next step, basically?
So has the actuary's report been included in the order already?
From the original court hearing?
Yes. Have we got it ordered?
Yeah, it said we would instruct one.
Okay. So if he's no longer complying with that, then you've got no incentive to adjourn the FDR. The FDR, by the way, guys, is hearing number two in a financial process, for those of you that are listening. So you've got no incentive to adjourn because he's refusing to comply with the order. So I would go back to court and say that to the judge. I'd say, look, you know, we've got to have this actuary's report or we're not able to determine a correct pension share order, and he's not willing to do it. So what the court can do in that instance is give the permission for one person to send in the letter of instruction and obtain the actuary's report themselves without his consent, essentially. Where you may come a little unstuck, however, is that he will have to at some point produce his pension documents to the actuary. Now, the court can order that and attach maybe a penal notice. So there's a penalty if he doesn't comply a second time. But to answer your original question, sorry, I'm going off on a bit of a tangent. I wouldn't be...
No, that's fine. It's really useful.
I wouldn't be agreeing to the adjournment because you're just going to be in the same position in another 3 months' time when he still hasn't agreed to doing the report.
I see. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Pleasure.
Because we have got one of his pension CUTVs. We're just waiting for the second one. But that's useful to know then. Thank you.
Okay, absolute pleasure.
And my second and hopefully very quick question was about Mackenzie Friends.
Yes.
So my mum, she is has got legal mental capacity.
Yeah.
So she can go by herself. So I haven't got power of attorney or anything.
Yeah.
But she does struggle a lot.
Yeah.
Her ex-husband is my father. I haven't had a relationship for a number of years. Would that class as a conflict for me being her Mackenzie friend?
It potentially. I think the court would prefer it if there was somebody who wasn't related, particularly related to both sides.
Okay, I see.
So I'm sure you would have to ask permission in the first instance. And I think that what will probably happen is the judge would turn to your father to say, do you have any objection to your son being present? But I think chances are a judge would probably not want you there for your sake more than the parties, because that's difficult. You're not sure what's going to be said. But a Mackenzie friend, if your mum feels that she would get something from that and you know, would get some support, the court would be fine with that.
Okay, that's great. Thanks very much. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks then. Bye.
Take care. Bye now.
Bye-bye. Man, what's your question?
Most of my questions already been asked, so I'm just going to ask the last bit of it.
Okay.
We were co-inhabiting, not at a religious ceremony. She's left. I own the properties. Can she in the future come after the family home? If she can, should I just give her a settlement offer and get a financial order, or do I not need any of that?
No, I think, you know, without a financial order, you haven't severed the financial ties. Okay, that's the really important thing to know. And that's the stock answer that I tell everybody. So marriage is a contract. And if
No. We weren't legally married. We had a religious ceremony only.
Well, then she won't be able to claim anything then, because only a wife can claim.
Nothing at all.
No. She can claim under, you know, cohabitee, but if nothing's in her name, then she won't succeed.
Right. Okay. My other question is, how long she's taken the kids? It's been 2 months. She's changed the schools without permission. Is there anything I can do to bring them back to the original school and get custody of them, or do we just have to?
There's
nothing I can do now.
Two questions there. I mean, changing residence is a really difficult application to succeed on. So I suspect that you wouldn't be able to get custody, as you say, of the children. Changing the schools, I mean, how long have they been at the new school?
It's been a month now, 4 weeks.
So if you were to make an application today, you're probably going to get before the court in about 3 months' time, which takes you to 4 months. And then if you guys can't agree and it's listed for final hearing, you're probably looking at 10 months. So, you know, the children could be a good 10 months at school, or probably completed a year. And then I would say that your prospects of success would be grim, if I'm being completely honest.
So it's better for me to move closer to them now?
I would, but I think that I would be attending family court to get a prohibited steps order that she can't keep doing this. Because, you know, she's disrespecting the fact that you are their father and you do have parental responsibility. And, you know, she should have consulted you before doing the first move. What's to say that you move closer to her and then she doesn't do it again?
So I've got to go to court, get a prohibited steps order.
If you move closer and you suspect that that's what she's up to, yeah. Because, I mean, you should be on the school contact list and they should be letting you know if the children are leaving, and you should be attending parents' evenings and sports days and all that, you know, unless there's orders to say that you can't. So you should be being kept in the loop.
I found out what school it was. It's the closest one to her family home. She's moved back to a parents.
Right.
So they put me on the list.
Yeah.
As a parent. And I don't think she'll go anywhere else.
Okay.
Because there's nowhere else to go.
Okay.
But there's no way in the future she can. Should I still offer her some sort of money to completely sever the ties, or is there no way she can come back?
There are no ties to sever. So, you know, if you wanted to offer her something, that's a personal choice for you to make. But legally, because you weren't married, there are no ties to sever. All right.
So that's
fab.
That's fantastic news. Thank you for that.
Pleasure.
You do great work.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Captain, let me just... Oh, there we go. Hello.
Hello. It's just a really quick one.
Yeah.
This lady's been trying all night to get on and she can't.
Oh, okay.
So it says, hi, my son's biological dad moved to the other side of the country 4 years ago. He drops in and out of his life whenever he pleases. My soon-to-be husband has been the best dad to my son. My son's autistic and epileptic, meaning a lot of hospital appointments, roughly 4 a week, which my partner can't help taking him to because he doesn't have PR. Biological dad has never taken to him any appointments and I'm struggling doing it alone. Can I apply for biological dad's PR to be given to my partner for medical reasons?
Well, the first thing I would say is that three people can have parental responsibility. So step one is to contact biological father, because he has PR, and say, would you have any objection to soon-to-be stepdad having parental responsibility? If biological dad says, yes, that's fine, then you can download a parental responsibility agreement, fill it all out, send it into court. Okay, so that will be done by agreement. No one needs to physically attend court. If biological dad says no, he's not having PR, wait until they're married, because I heard she said soon to be husband. Wait until and then he can make the, or she can make the application, because step parents are generally given parental responsibility, particularly when they're the ones living with the children. It's given by way of court order. It can be taken away by way of court order. So if biological dad agrees, it's a step-parent agreement, a parental responsibility agreement. And if biological dad doesn't agree, it's an application to the court, but do it after you're married, because you will have greater success than before you're married.
Yeah, because this sounds like it's all medical reasons, so maybe they can't wait to get married. So if they can't wait till they get married, and they need to do it sooner.
Is there
more hoops to jump through, is the question?
No, not at all. The court's just going to want to know that, because obviously the court doesn't make orders giving adults you know, random people PR willy-nilly for children. So, you know, you'd probably have to provide evidence of how long you've been together, when the marriage is taking place, why you can't wait until the marriage. I mean, look, I don't know when they're getting married, but even if you made an application today, you're going to wait a good 3 to 4 months before you get a court hearing. So it's not going to happen overnight. And we're talking about all of this in because we assume that biological dad won't give his permission. But if he gives his permission, you don't need to attend court.
No. Okay, that's great. Thanks, Tracy. Thanks for allowing me back on.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you, Captain. Appreciate that. Bye-bye. I'm going to wrap it up, guys, but someone keeps saying to me on the TikTok, please can you explain what a B94-1 notice is? It's a barring order. So it's where you apply to the court and you say to them, can you please place a barring order on the other person because they keep making all these applications. So that's what a B94 is. I've just seen it. It keeps coming up, the question. So hopefully that's helped. Guys, I'm going to wrap it up. Apologies to everyone still with their hand up. I'm back here again next Tuesday. There's so many ways that you can get hold of me. Obviously, my response isn't going to be instant, but you can email me, you can DM me, you can put comments in the TikTok videos, you can go on the Discord. I tend to try to get to each social media platform at least once a week. So I was on Discord yesterday and I'll spend a couple of hours answering questions. So, you know, if you ask a question tonight, I will get to you. It might just take me a few days. The quickest way to get a response is email because I tend to be, I'm in the office all day and I do tend to be able to answer those quicker than sometimes the social media. So I hope that's helped. Thanks, Missy. Guys, I will leave it there and wrap it up. Back here again next Tuesday at 6:30 to 7:30. Thank you again so much to all of my mods, all of my helpers. Couldn't do it without you. Cheers, Donna. Thanks again. Take care, guys, and I'll see you back here again Tuesday. Bye.